Welcome to Keeping It Real with Frankie D, the very first Italian-American podcast and the home of the Italian-American moment. I'm Frankie D, and we are at ItalianAmericanLife.com, iTunes, Stitcher, the podcast app. Please like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, connect with us on LinkedIn, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. My guest today is Robert Sorrentino from Italian Genealogy and the author of Farmers and Nobles, A Genealogy History of Two Italian American Families. Bob, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Frank. It's always a pleasure to talk to you and be back on the show.
You do great work. You do very extensive work, which we're going to get into because I read the book and the amount of work to obtain this information about going back and back. I was tired reading the book. I don't know how you do this. So how did you come to write this book? I mean, I know you've been doing a lot of genealogy work. How did you come to write a book about your family story?
Well, you know, Frank, I've been doing the podcast. I've had the blog, and to your point, I had so much information that I felt I wanted to share my experience and tell my story and hopefully, you know, get other people to understand that it's time consuming, but if you got a little detective in you, you could find out some of the most amazing things.
Well, let me just say that, showing my age, you're Columbo, Kojak, and that guy that rode the horse with the cowboy had all combined into one. If I can talk about the 70s detective shows. Now, you do great work. And I know it's a big thing now. It's very popular. I'm involved with the Italian Cultural Center in Chicago at Casa Italia. And we have had seminars about genealogy. We offer help. Our head guy, Mr. Dominic Candeloro, he preaches all the time. Tell your story, tell your story, tell your story. It's important. And I think a lot more people are doing it. And it's great. I think it was a great idea to write the book because the book is not only great for your family and going forward, but it inspires, it shows people, it gives them an outline of the way to this works. So, no, absolutely. Great job with the book. So, yeah, tell me more about that, about your research.
And I'm glad you said that because I'm glad the point got across because that was the goal, really, was to get other people to do the same thing so we don't lose people don't lose their heritage. Where I started the book was with some of the stories of other people because I firmly believe that within every family, there's somebody who has what I like to call the calling, that we're the historians. And I don't know whether that's bestowed from upon high or whatever. But I truly believe that some people are meant to follow this through. And like I said at the beginning, some of the things that happen can't be an accident. It's just too hard to believe. And I think probably my favorite story is Paul from one of the heritage groups there. And he was going to do a seminar in Pennsylvania. And before leaving on the plane, he looked up at the sky. He was looking for one record. He looked up, he said, I looked up and I said, Grandma, I need to find this record of yours. He gets to this seminar in Pennsylvania and he said, I look over and in our booth is a woman and she's got a tag that says she's from the New Jersey archives. That's where my grandmother was from. That's where his grandmother was from. And he said, yeah, I took a chance. I gave her my grandmother's name. I've been searching for a record. He said, she kind of, you know, nodded and walked away. And I figured that was the end of it. He said, the next day before I go to give my presentation, she walks up to me with an envelope and says, don't open this until after you finish. He opened up the envelope and his grandmother's record was in there.
Very nice. Yes.
Now, coincidence? I don't know.
But I don't think people are quite understanding what I'm getting at. When I say your history, now the beginning of the book, which is very interesting, is about your aunts, uncles, you know, the relationships. But you go back, not great-grandpa, not great-great-grandpa. You go back, and I got to say the great, about 25 times. You're going back. You're talking about, I mean, it was amazing, like, well, in 1202, John did this. And it just blows my mind how you could come across all this info. That's what I mean by really going back. So, yeah, tell us
and, about that. You know, Frank, I was very, very lucky in that my grandmother brought her father's card. I say calling card. With her when she came to America in 1915. And I was always intrigued by that. My mother always had it in the book.
May I ask what you mean about a card? What kind of card?
Like a calling card, almost like a business card.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it's about the size of an index card, and it has the crest on it. And he was my paternal grandmother's father. And, you know, that's where I kind of started. And as soon as I plugged him into the internet, I got back this long list of these noble families, Caracciolo. Never heard that name before. It was never mentioned in my family. So I called my cousin who used to live with my grandmother, and she said, oh, sure. That's known as mother's name. Of course, yes, that's the family. Well, this family, and it's all documented in the Libro di Oro, the Bible of these noble families from Italy. That family goes back to 950 in Naples. And I was able to go back through my grandmother's mom. She was from the princes of Tocchirolo, back to the princes of Avellino, back to these other princes. Once I got there, all of these Spanish nobles started coming in the 1500s. So it just was amazing. And like I said, I was just very, very lucky.
And can I ask a question? What does that feel like to be able to trace back one's roots about 1,000 or plus years?
It's crazy. It's nuts. You know, I've even got further back than that, to kings and queens of Europe. And I tell people, you know, some people say to me, well, everybody's related to them. Yes, that's true in a sense. You know, almost everybody that comes from Europe is related to Charlemagne in some way, shape, or form, or whatever. I said, but the thing is to be able to find it, to find that link, to know which ones you're related to. And the other thing that I mentioned is the reason I wanted to tell the story is we know all about Spanish nobles and royalty, French nobles and royalty, you know, Marie Antoinette and King Louis and the kings of England. We don't know about the Italian nobility, the Italian royalty, and the fact that Italy is a very, very new country. That before the unification, you had all of these little fiefdoms all over the place. And they were fighting with each other constantly.
Kind of like an immediate family. Okay. Sorry.
Well, yeah.
Mom, dad. In a sense, yeah.
And again, you had these marriages between these little towns in Italy, right? And dowries being paid. I mean, in some cases, you know, I found that the woman gave a town, the father gave a town as dowry to the husband.
Wow. I could say something, but I won't. Anyways. Okay. I'm thinking out loud now. What is the basis now of your research? Is this conducted online? Was this conducted in Italy, actually physically being there? Was it conducted in America that has this stuff? I mean, how did this all come about?
Yeah, pretty much all of the above. I mean, certainly I started online, because of course that was the easiest way. And with the farmer family from Torito in Puglia, much to my surprise, the two towns there, Torito and Acquaviva della Fonte, have extensive records on the Antonati. So I was able to get those families back as far as you could online without going to parish records, and found like over 100 records there. So that surprised me. I never thought I would get past my mother's maybe great-grandparents. On my father's side, the nobility research, again, was fairly easy because it was documented. It's not documented on little pieces of paper. There are these lists of all of these families. So I did have a roadblock with my dad's family, the Sorrentino family. I could not find anything. I knew what my great-grandfather's name was, but that was it. And so I hired somebody in Italy from Bella Italia Genealogy, Alessandro, great guy. And he came back after a couple of months with more information on my grandmother's, my paternal grandmother's side, which kind of cemented some of the things I found, added some new things, gave me some roots to go down. Nothing on the Sorrentino side. Almost a year goes by. I'm ready to like call him up and say, hey, you know, if you can't find anything, just let me know. That's fine. My cousin Louise, who was my go-to person for my father's family, passed away. The next day, I got a dump from Alessandro with all of these Sorrentino records.
And you did this with Alessandro online, emails, things
like that? Yeah, yeah, emails, things like that, yeah.
The Sorrentino side is from where?
They're also from Naples. They originated in Nocera Superiore, but then they were in Naples. And my grandfather was actually in a seminary studying to be a priest. And when I was growing up, the story was that he would tell the story that my grandmother would come by and flirt with him. And he left. But then my second cousin told me the story that she had heard from her father or her grandmother that actually her fancy dancy carriage broke down in front of the seminary one day. He was outside. He offered to help fix the carriage. And they gave him a ride someplace. And he wound up leaving the seminary and marrying my grandmother.
Can I throw out a possible theory?
Yeah.
That thing broke down on purpose. That would be the smart thing to do if you want to get in with somebody. So,
you know, I never thought of that, but you're probably right.
I mean, I'm sad to say, but it's the first thing I thought of. I'm sorry about that, but hey, I tip my hat to her. That was a good plan if that was the case. And then you also, read the book. Is Bob Sorrentino a descendant of a pope?
Yes. And I kid my wife, I said, you know, when the end comes, if I run into this guy, I'm not sure if I'm going to be in the right place.
Bob, that's a great connection. That's a hell of a thing. I got to tell you.
Yeah. Pope Paul III, his real name or his given name, I guess, was Alessandro Farnese. He had at least two children that I remember. And he was the brother of Alexander IV, the Borgia Pope, his girlfriend was Giulia Farnese. So that's the connection to that group. The Borgia Pope, he had several children. One of them was the infamous Lucrezia Borgia. And another interesting little fact about Lucrezia is that I have another set of grandparents, Francesco Gonzaga and Isabella d'Este. Isabella d'Este was, if you read about her, and I kind of have a long thing about her because I'm so fascinated to find about her. She was what I would refer to as the Jackie Kennedy of the Renaissance. She was a beautiful woman, very well educated, very smart, would run the dukedoms and the counties and things when her husband was away at war, and these guys were always away at some war. But in any event, he had an affair with Lucrezia Borgia. So he was diddling with the Pope's daughter. She was running the places up in the north.
Wow, it's a regular
thing. And the Pope's girlfriend's sister became a cardinal at the age of 18.
Wow. Did you know prior to this research that you were a descendant of a Pope?
No, no clue. I had no idea.
That make you feel like when you found this out?
That was amazing. And we were watching, when we watched the show, The Borgias, on Showtime. My wife and I are sitting there watching it, and that's a relative, and that's a relative, and that's a relative, that's a relative. Another very, very famous person at the same time was Ferrante, the king of Naples. And he was from the Aragona family from Spain. He was Spanish. And they highlight this in the show also. He liked to keep his enemies close, very close. In fact, he had a dining room set up where he had them stuffed and dressed and sitting around the table like the Last Supper.
But they weren't real?
They were real. Oh. They were real.
Wow.
They were real.
Okay. So you did, and if I'm not mistaken, you researched everyone, right? So you have bloodlines to Puglia, bloodlines to Campania, and then I believe bloodlines to Calabria.
Calabria, also Molise.
Also Molise.
Molise, yeah. And then going way, way back, like through Isabella d'Este and some of those people, even up into Tuscany and Piedmont and places like that. But that's much, much further back. Because, you know, again, they all started, you know, they were all marrying each other and everything.
Right, right. I do have to bring up something I really did love, the back cover. So the back cover has a postcard. And mm-hmm. The postcard is a little note that a girl wrote for her dad. And it says, "To my dear dad, to always remind him of his dear daughter." And it's from, I want to say it's your grandmother?
Yes.
And in this card dates to 1919. And I'm assuming is when she came to America. So she probably figured probably won't see my dad ever again. And she left him this note. And then you found the note like a couple of years ago, correct? Or you came across
actually,
the note?
Actually less than that. So what happened was I had seen this photo before from my
grandmother. You had seen the photo of it.
I had seen the photo before. In fact, I have a copy of that photo. And back then they would take these pictures, and you could see it's a postcard, right?
It's a postcard.
You went to the photographer and they
put it on
the
back of a postcard on it.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, we had planned our trip to Italy with Letizia from Italy Rooting just before the pandemic. It got canceled a couple of times. We finally got to go in June. And again, I always go back to this. Nothing happens by accident. 2 months before we go on the trip, I get a message on Facebook from my dad's first cousin, Nicola. Now, he's my dad's first cousin, even though he's younger than me, because my great-grandfather, his wife died. My great-grandmother died at 42, and he married a woman half his age. He was 60, she was 30. So Nicola says, you know, well, I'm going to come to lunch, we're going to meet, we're going to do this, that, and the other thing. He brings us over to my dad's first cousins from my grandmother was their aunt. They're in their 90s. And we're in Torre del Greco. I had heard about Torre del Greco. I had heard that there were people there. My father had said this 35 years ago. Never expecting to meet them. That's just outside of Naples, by Vesuvius, in that general area. And we go upstairs. There are these three women in their 90s, Two of them are blood relatives. The other one is a sister-in-law. And they bring us in like we were the best thing that ever happened to them. Long lost family. They were so nice and great and everything. So, and there's a long-winded way to get to your answer, but I will get there.
But that's a special moment, Bob. That's a very special moment.
So we're sitting around in the living room and one of them comes over to me and they have my parents' wedding photo from 1944 with my grandmother's handwriting on the back.
They kept it 44, so 70
years.
Yeah.
Almost 80 years.
Yeah.
So now I'm like blown away. And they're bringing out all these other pictures. And they even knew gossip from the 1960s. They even had that. So Nicola was just, he was just so wonderful. He took us around. They fed us. They did, you know, all the Italian stuff, of course. And we got back, maybe a month after we got back, he went through his mom's stuff. And he sent me this back.
The original.
He didn't send me the original. He sent me photos.
Oh.
But I had no idea. And, you know, Frank, when I saw this, I can't tell you how emotional it was. Because like you said, you read that and you know that she knew she was never going to see her father again.
No, absolutely.
Probably never talked to him on the phone.
Right. Oh, of course not. Of course not. You could feel it. This is one of those pictures that you could just feel. You could feel her emotion. You could feel her sadness and her love for her father. And to think that she went somewhere, she didn't even know where the hell she was going, crossed the world, and would never see the man again. It's very heartfelt. It really is. That was a great choice to put on the back cover.
Yeah, you know, and it came at just the right time. We were just finishing everything up, and I said to the publisher, I said, that's the back cover. That's the back cover.
For sure. Is the original still in existence, or you don't know?
Yeah. Nicola has it. He has it over there. And he, besides this, he had sent me copies of all my grandmother's brothers from when they were young. You know, amazing photos from when they got married, another couple when they were young.
Wow. The fact that what a great man that he kept this postcard from 1919 and he still has it to this day.
And he still has it. And, you know, to prove how great a guy he is. And this is why people have to go. They have to go to the hometown. Rome is great. Florence is great. Venice is great. Blah, 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 blah. But when you get there, that's when you feel like you're a real Italian. And I was having problems. I'm trying to get the citizenship. I was having problems getting the records for my grandmother's birth.
You having problems with records? I can't believe that.
Well, getting them from Italy is not hard. That's hard. And I, you know, I messaged him and I said, Nicola, you know, I know you're not far from Cercola. You know, do you think you could see if they have the records there? The next morning I had a message from him. I have an appointment on Monday. Got there, sent me my grandmother's birth record and my grandmother and grandfather's marriage record. Just like that. We've talked about this a lot. We're losing our heritage. We're losing our heritage. This is the way back to the heritage. And once you do this type of work, you have to go. You have to go. Simple as that.
For sure. For sure. And at the very least, like you say, make one trip. You could go to Rome. You could go to the Vatican. It's awesome. It's fantastic. But go to the family's town. Even if you don't know anybody, just walk the street. See that sign. You know how all the towns have like the sign in the front with the name. And it's such an incredible feeling because that's where it all began. So yeah, I'm with you. I highly advise it. Obviously you took it to a greater level and, you know, maybe not necessarily somebody has to go as far as you did, which is incredible, but just, you know, write your story. Like my friend, Dominic Candeloro says, write your story before it's too late.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's the thing. When you have that certain relative that maybe knows some information, that's a lot easier, correct?
Well, yeah. You know, one of my biggest pieces of advice in the book and is ask grandma. That's your best source of information. I wish, you know, my grandparents, I was young when my grandparents passed away. I never thought to ask them questions. But I'd ask an aunt, especially if you have somebody in the 80s and 90s. They are your best source of information because they know the oral stories, right? Like Anthony Ricci always said, you know, we were in the oral heritage, you know? We've lost the oral heritage, but we can't lose that writing heritage. And, you know, also in the book, my cousin was smart enough that before his dad died, he interviewed him in Barés. That my cousins come from there. They were born there. And this story is incredible. You know, you get an insight into life, into Italy. And I've read several other books to interview people that have written several, you know, their stories about how their parents came out, what happened on the boat, what happened in, over there, how they lived over there. And we're losing it. And it scares me that we're losing it.
And I think you said it best. Go find the oldest one, mm-hmm. not the younger ones. Find the oldest relative and start there. And we are fortunate with all this technology. Grab your cell phone. Do an interview with your grandma, your grandpa. Why not? You know, keep this stuff recorded. So, no, you're doing a great job, Bob. And so tell us, where do people find you, your book, your podcast, everything?
Well, find everything at www.italiangenealogy.blog. There's links to the podcast there. There's links to the YouTube channel. There's also links to the book. You could purchase the book right there. The book is also on Amazon, and it's also at the publisher, Janaway. So there's, you know, various places that you could get the book. And
you are available for a bit of advice if someone needs it to find
absolutely,
out.
Absolutely, sure. And
if
I also have...
You are a descendant of a pope, perhaps?
Yeah, and to that end, there's also I have a great Facebook group with 10,000 people on it. Everyone ready, willing to help, no matter what region of Italy you're from. You type in your last name, you type in the region, and somebody will come back and say, "I have that last name. I'm from that region." And
what would the name of that Facebook page?
It's Italian Roots and Genealogy.
Italian Roots and Genealogy.
Yeah. And there's always people willing to help translate, help with advice on getting citizenship. Or I can't tell you how many people I go on there sometimes and I see people. Yes, I'm from that town. Yes, that's my name. And actually cousin connections made on that site. So
that also would be a good starting point as well, just to throw it out there.
Oh, yes, definitely. Definitely. If you're not sure about your last name, where it's from, if you know the town, but you don't know people there, you post it on Italian genealogy, roots and genealogy, and you'll get an answer. You'll definitely get an answer.
It sounds like you need to be a little persistent and don't give up. Don't get discouraged.
Absolutely. And sometimes, you know, if you're stuck and you're frustrated, walk away for a month or two because you'll be surprised. When you come back, it's something will be there. It happens all the time. Happens all the time.
Well, that's great advice. Bob, thank you for all the work you're doing for our people, for our stories, to keep them alive and enjoy the book thoroughly. I highly advise it to everyone out there. Bob, thank you so much. Keep doing what you're doing, pal, okay?
Thanks, and the same goes for you. You know, we're peas in a pod.
Yes, that's a good vegetable group there, definitely. Robert Sorrentino, thank you.
Thanks again, Frank.